Hi, friends. It is Sunday morning as I am recording this, and it's the most gorgeous day in Porto. It's a clear blue sky. I feel like it's in the middle of summer. It's probably 30 degrees today. It's really hot outside. I just had the most beautiful morning on my balcony, looking at the sunrise, sipping my coffee, and I just feel very grateful for this new chapter that started many months ago. But I feel like I'm still getting used to this new life and where I'm at and how to do things here. I'm going to be honest, the first 2 months, so I moved in here, like I said last episode, beginning of January. But the first 2 months, they were not fun. I'm not going to lie. They were so chaotic. So many things that I had to learn about how people do things here. Just setting up myself with like electricity and water and getting used to this apartment. And yeah, it was full of anxiety and still sort of being pulled back to last year. But this month, I would say starting in March, I've really been able to slowly settle in and settle down and have little moments of just feeling at peace. And I'm having more and more of these moments, and I'm just very grateful that I'm finally starting to feel settled here, because I have felt like it's not until I can really settle down and have some peace of mind that I can start creating stuff again and actually be able to say something that means something and that makes sense at all. So anyway, this episode will be a little bit of a Q&A episode, but it's going to be themed around moving away and starting over to start fresh. I threw out on my social media, like I usually do, asking you to send me questions or thoughts or your stories or any topic requests. And 90% of the questions were about moving away. I have always felt like the people that I tend to attract online are people who are very much like me, and we are always going to be searching for something else. We're always going to be daydreaming about a different self out there. And I know that a lot of you guys who are listening, you have moved away and you have started over. Maybe you're studying somewhere else, or you moved away for love, or you moved away for work. But I also know that a lot of you are still in a place where you don't necessarily feel like you want to be forever, and maybe you're trying to collect courage or strength to actually make the move. And no matter where you're at, I hope that I can speak to all of you. So I have picked a couple of questions that are around this theme, and I just kind of want to vibe on it, because all these questions, they kind of blend into each other. So anyway, I'm just going to jump straight in, and it's going to be a part two. I've already done like a bigger episode about moving away, but I did that episode, I think it's over a year ago now, before I moved to Portugal. So that episode was mostly about, you know, I moved away to London when I was 18. And moving away to a different city is going to be different depending on where you're at in your life. Not so much your age, but the reason for moving. I think that is what makes the biggest difference. So now that I moved away again for a different reason than what I have done previously, I think my perspective is a little bit different. So I think it can be interesting to do this episode again. So here, I guess, is part two, but more like an upgraded part one, about moving away to reinvent yourself. And there will be a part two of this upgraded part two as well, because you had so many beautiful questions about it. So anyway, let's dive in. So the first question that I have here is, what are the key factors to consider when choosing a new country to move to for a fresh start? So I was thinking about this question, and I kind of started outlining things that I tend to daydream about and look for when I decide where to move. But then I went on this big mental journey, and I actually came to a very different answer. And the answer that I came to was that I think I have learned that you don't actually always have to know exactly what you want to create now or where you want to go now. I think that I have learned now is that the most important thing is that you know what you do not want to bring with you, what you do not want to recreate. And this is kind of where, you know, the different phases in life come in. Because when I was younger, let's say 18, and I just wanted to leave my hometown and go out there and chase my own life, I wanted to create something. Yeah, I was running away for sure from, you know, the static upbringing that I felt like I had. But it was very much more so I wanted to go out there and create something. This time, when I moved to Portugal, yes, I still have a vision for a certain life that I want to create here. But more so, I wanted to leave a certain life that I had built that I no longer wanted to live. So when I moved here, more than a strong vision for how my life should be now, I had a list of things that I refused to bring with me, a list of habits and routines and wounds that I promised myself to no longer feed, no longer entertain, no longer engage in. And so I think sometimes you know exactly what you're chasing and what you want to go after, whether it's a job or a career or a person or a specific house maybe. And obviously that is beautiful, but you can also just want to leave something and know what you're leaving and know what you do not want to create. And I think that that is just as powerful and as valid. Yeah, I mean, to go back to my reason for moving this time, it was the same thing with my physical stuff. Like I said before, I wanted to leave something this time. So I sold off everything that I had. I sold off my furniture and I just came here with a rucksack and my guitar. And even that was, it has been a beautiful journey for me, building something new and being so conscious of what I bring into my life over here. Whether it's the physical stuff around me, like it took me a month to buy myself a bed because I don't know, I'm so picky about what I decide to let into my apartment now. It took me a long time to buy a desk where I'm going to sit and write because I went there and I sat down by this desk and I thought, is this really the desk I want to sit by every morning? And I'm really grateful that I took that time because now I am surrounded by pieces and furniture and belongings that I really want in my life. They resonate with what I want to have around me now. You know, I could have moved here and just started collecting things around me because I need them, things out of necessity. But the thing is, we tend to take our character and our habits and our routines and the things we're familiar with, we bring them with us, even if we move to a new country, of course. And so it's the same with our triggers and our wounds. And so for me to stop attracting the things that I wanted to leave, I have to be conscious about the choices I make here. So to be really specific, one of the things that I felt really frustrated about last year was that I found myself with a lot of friendships, both personal and professional, that were not actually inspiring me or giving me energy, but they were rather energy drenching. Every time I had met one of these people or been maybe had a songwriting session or even just gone for a coffee, I found myself walking home feeling tired and uninspired and just drenched. And it took me a while to understand where that came from, why I always felt so tired after having spent time with my friends, really, and my colleagues that I consider them as. But I, at some point, realized that I had a lot of people around me who loved complaining about their own lives. And they created the situations that they then complained about. I don't know if you have these people, but some people just love attracting dramatic situations and they create them themselves. And then they sit there and just complain about their own creation, really. And, you know, we all have our reasons for attracting certain people in our lives. I think if you're familiar with some of my previous stories, both in books and podcasts, one of my biggest challenges in life has been loneliness. I've been feeling very lonely for a long time because I have been moving around so much and I have dedicated a lot of my life to my own journey, which has, you know, it's challenging to build deep, meaningful friendships and relationships when you do that. So I think when I found myself feeling very lonely, I started just taking in anybody into my life. Whoever wanted to be around me, I embraced them. Whether they gave me good energy or bad energy, I didn't really care. I just wanted not to be alone. And there's such a danger with that because at some point, I think I found myself feeling like I was really suffering when I felt really lonely, but now I'm suffering for a different reason. Now I have people around me who love creating their own negative situations and then they go to me to cry about. So anyway, I think I maybe just grew in myself to a point where I felt like, you know what? I have outgrown this. I've outgrown this kind of way of attracting people, this way of moving around in the world. And, you know, another thing that I think is a big reason for leaving something that I see a lot of people around me wanting to leave is the wounds you collect. At this point in our lives, I think we're all kind of the same age. Some are younger, some are older, but we collect wounds from people we have fallen in love with and maybe had our heart broken, or we broke some hearts, or from work situations we were rejected, or things didn't go our way. And these situations create certain insecurities, and we create our own beliefs about what's wrong with us, or what we're not good at, or what we are not capable of doing, or not capable of being. And this is what I refer to as wounds. We carry around these wounds. And so these wounds, they make us behave in certain ways. So, for example, I for a long time carried around a certain belief about what I was capable of as a person, as a songwriter, as an author, as a friend, as a daughter, as a girlfriend, as whatever. And in order for me to break those beliefs, to build up a new belief, for me, I find it easier to leave the place and situation where the wounds happened. And sometimes, you know, it's as easy as moving into a new apartment in the same city, maybe. Or, you know, I guess some people have an easier time to move on from stuff. You guys have a really hard time moving on from stuff. I go over conversations and relationships and jobs over and over and over again for years in my head. So for me, it's easier to start over from scratch, completely fresh in a new place. Sometimes a new city, sometimes a new country. It doesn't really matter. But I have to physically break the patterns in order to build a new belief about who I can be and what I can achieve and who I can become. So to circle back to the actual question, what are the key factors to consider when choosing a new country to move to for a fresh start? I think this time I answer that question saying, know what you are not going to recreate and refuse to engage in activities or relationships that will bring you right back to these old patterns. Yeah, that's probably how I would answer that question. You know, it is so possible to break patterns and build a completely new daily life for yourself. And there is no better place to do so than in a new place, but you have to go to that place. I think that is such a big trap for myself and a lot of people. We stay in bad relationships, or we stay in a job that we don't like because we believe things will change one day. But like, we have to make the change. We have to physically make the change. Nobody's gonna change things for you. Okay, gotta move on. Next question. How do you overcome the fear of leaving behind the familiar and stepping into the unknown? This is such a beautiful question. And this question always comes up when I talk about moving away or going after a dream, going after a career, chasing a life that you can be proud of. There is so much fear around everyone today. We want so much stability, and we want safety, and we want money on the bank account. We have never been taught to go out there and take risks. And I don't know, I think I would like to be an example of how, you know, safety can really hold you back in life. I have always talked about turning fear of the unknown into excitement for the endless possibilities. When you don't know what's going to happen, anything can happen. Everything is possible now. How exciting is that? If you always know what's going to happen, you are never going to experience that feeling of knowing that literally anything is possible now. Like, now you can really make up your own life. And you can start saying yes to all the crazy stuff that might come your way. But if you limit your own possibilities and plan and plan and plan and have comfort and safety and this and this and that, like, I think you're limiting yourself a little bit. So instead of being scared of not knowing what's going to happen, you can learn to view uncertainty as something exciting. I honestly believe it's one of the greatest mindsets to learn, because fear of the unknown will hold you back like nothing else. And back to the patterns, I think it's this fear of the unknown that keeps so many people hostage in dark relationships, or stuck in a job they hate, or stuck in a city they hate, or just don't love, because they're simply scared to make a change. And then the years go by. There is just no better feeling than being on your way to unknown lands, truly feeling deep in your core that you are driving towards unlimited opportunities in life. And now it's all up to you. So I think that's how you overcome fear. You learn to view fear as excitement for all the endless possibilities that you have now. Okay, next question. What practical steps can one take to prepare for a move to a new country, both logistically and emotionally? This is a fun question, and it's fun because a few years ago, I probably would have ignored this question. I would have thought, duh, you just go do it. But again, like, depending on the reason for moving and where you're at in your life, I think this will change. So I have become more and more practical with age, for sure, because you learn that you have to plan. When I first moved to London, I had no plans. I just packed a rucksack and I went there. I maybe because I was so young, but, and I guess now I would call it naive, But then I was just so driven by this life I wanted to create for myself. I did no research on how to find apartments in London or how to do this and how to do that. I just went there and I figured it out as I went along. And I cannot recall ever feeling that, ever regretting not doing more research or doing more planning. I didn't know anybody in London. I didn't know anything. I just went there. And I eventually found a little room to rent, eventually found some friends, and eventually found my way. This time, though, I was way more proactive. I did a lot of research. And I mean, I even spent years temporarily living in places to find the next place to move to. I was very, I would call it strategic this time. It wasn't a spontaneous thing. It wasn't a heat of the moment kind of decision. It was planned for over a year. I wrote so many to-do lists. And yeah, there was a lot of planning. But the thing is, nothing happened according to my plan. I had this like day-to-day to-do list of, okay, this is when I land in Porto. This is when I get the keys. This is when I set up my water contract. This is when I buy the couch. This is when I do this and this and that. And just nothing happened that way. So that's also one thing I think. You can do your research and you can understand the culture and the way that you set up a life in a new country. But trust me, you just have to go there and figure it out as you go. So actually the advice I would give you if you're thinking about moving to a new country or just a new city is to learn to appreciate the process of learning as you go. Every country is set up so differently. The culture, the system, the legal process. I mean, just like Portugal is so very different from Sweden, where I'm from. There's just nothing is the same. Nothing is the same. So you just have to learn to love it. And that needs to be a part of why you want to move. You want to experience a new process. You want to experience a new way of going through life. I mean, that's the exciting thing. When you move to a new country, you get to see that, oh, there are more ways of going through a life than the one that I am used to, than the one that I have been presented with so far. And that is part of it. And you collect all these different ways of moving through a life, and then you design your own way of going through life. You take bits and pieces from all the people you meet. So that's what I would say. Do your research and then know that it's not going to happen that way. Okay, I think I'll take maybe just two more questions and then we do a part two. How do you navigate cultural differences and adapt to life in a new country? Navigate cultural differences. Well, part of moving must be that you want to be around the culture you're moving to. I don't want to be rude, but there is nothing worse than people who move to a new country and try to make that country something different. Like, you move to a country because you love the country and you want to live there. So you don't get the right to be frustrated about the culture there. You make the decision to move to that culture. And, you know, I have to go on a tangent. Swedes, we are known for, especially Swedish musicians, we tend to move to Los Angeles. There's a huge songwriting community in LA because, you know, in Sweden, we do a lot of great pop music and LA is like the pop music capital of the world. And the fun thing is, I have a lot of friends who go to LA to work as songwriters for a year, or maybe they even stay there. But then I call them up and I'm like, okay, so you've been here for 6 months now. Have you met a lot of friends? Like, where, how are people in LA? And they're like, yeah, I've met like five Swedish friends who are also here as songwriters. And that's what tends to happen Swedish people moved to LA and only spent time with other Swedish people who moved to LA. But anyway, that was a tangent. Yeah, back to the question, how to navigate cultural differences. I think, number one, you should love the country you're moving to. And I'm saying this because I did move to a country for my career. It was a city that I had a lot of musician connections in. I knew that I would be able to write and record a lot in that city, but I didn't have any pull towards the actual city. It was the scene, the industry that I was after, and not the city. And eventually I realized that everybody's different here, but I am a person. I need to be in a place that I love being in. I need to be surrounded by the nature that I love, the climate that I love, the smells and sounds and food and people that I love. And if I'm not, I cannot even create well. I thought that I could just follow my vision for what I wanted to be as a creator, and it wouldn't matter where I was in the world. But the more I did this and the older I got, I realized I'm all out of inspiration, and I think it was because I was in a place that I did not like being in. I did not like the culture. I did not like the city. I did not like the nature, and I was so uninspired. I didn't want to leave my apartment. I just didn't like anything I saw outside. And so maybe that should be my answer to the first question, how to determine where to go and how to do this move. If you're like me and you're drawing inspiration from the place you're in, man, here where I live now in Porto, it's just so stunning. I have views to the mountain from one side of my apartment and views over the river from the other side. I have the forest just a bike ride away. I have the city another bike ride away. I have beaches within reach. I am so inspired to engage in life here in a completely different way. I've never felt that before. I just wake up and I am excited to leave my bed and actually be in the city, like be here, be in this place. And it is feeding my work and my art and how motivated I feel about getting back to things. So yeah, okay, I am steering away from the question. How to navigate cultural differences? I didn't even actually answer that question. I went in a completely different. Okay, well, how to navigate cultural differences? Be excited about them. It needs to start there. You need to be intrigued by the culture. You need to want to understand the culture and engage in it. And the thing is, so listen, like Portugal, again, has a very different culture than where I grew up in Sweden. And so I don't know if I necessarily ever will be able to adapt the culture, but I don't think that you need to adapt the culture. You just need to love being around it, and you need to be able to respect it and live with it. So there are so many beautiful things about the Portuguese culture. I love the friendliness of people here. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to go here. I have not met an unfriendly person in Portugal, whether it's trying to get settled with, you know, the apartment and signing up for stuff, or just going for a coffee or post office or whatever. People are just so nice, so helpful, so friendly, so full of love. That is the most beautiful thing I know about Portuguese people. And very welcoming. I've never felt like anybody has looked at me as a foreigner and made me feel like they don't want me here. I feel like everyone I've met so far, I have been met with welcoming arms. That's how I have felt. And again, I live a little bit outside of the city, so there's not a lot of tourists here, not even a lot of expats here. There's mostly Portuguese people on my street. And even these locals, they have been so welcoming and so helpful, and they speak English to me. It like, honestly, perfect English. I should learn Portuguese. But anyway, so I don't necessarily think you need to adapt to the culture, but you need to love it and you need to respect it and you need to not want to change it. You need to want to be around it. And so I want to end that saying, no culture is perfect. The Portuguese culture, it's a little bit slow. Things happen slowly here. And I'm used to efficiency. In like Sweden and Germany, things happen very fast. If you want to sign up for something, it's going to happen. And you get good service and quick service and follow-ups. And, you know, it happens as it should happen. And here, people will sign you up for that Wi-Fi contract when they feel like it. And usually you should go to the store physically and talk to them. And if you want to end the contract, you probably need to go there in person too. And nobody's going to answer your emails. People do not do emails here. That's number one. Most like professional people will send you a message on WhatsApp, actually. They will not answer your email. They will ask if you have WhatsApp. So that's interesting. But anyway, you just learn and you have to take it as it is. Okay, I'm going to take one last question and then we'll do part two. How do you deal with homesickness and feelings of loneliness while adjusting to life in a new country? This is probably one of my favorite questions and favorite things to talk about. And somehow I feel like all my books are about homesickness. The thing is, though, I do not think that it's a place that makes you feel homesick. The times that I feel homesick, I have believed it's for a place. I have believed that I'm looking for a home or missing a home or want to go home. But it's rather a way of me being that I miss, a way of feeling like me, how I like being me. That's what I am missing when I feel homesick. And so I do not think that you can build a home in a city or in a house or in an apartment, because I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but I have experienced feeling very much at home in a place. And then something happens. Somebody leaves. Some breaks up with you, or there is trauma happening. And suddenly the place is different. Suddenly you do not feel at home anymore. Suddenly this is just a scary big black hole and you must get out. And so it wasn't the place that felt like home. It was your way of being in the world, your way of feeling a certain way. It was a moment that felt like home. And I know when I was touring a lot as a songwriter, I used to always think, oh, I feel so lost on the road. I want to find a home. But the moments that I really felt at home were short magical moments on stage where I lost myself in my songs and I felt like the audience had a moment with me and I felt safe. I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to be doing with my life. I was in my elements and there were people there who shared that moment with me. We were all in a moment where time stood still. And I built my home in these moments when I was touring. And so every day I was going to a new place and I felt like I just wanted to get there. I wanted to go home and the home was that moment. And I wanted to stay in that moment. It felt safe. So when you move somewhere new, you're gonna feel homesick, but I do not think it's the place that you feel homesick in. And I don't think that the missing that you might feel is for a different place. I think the quicker you can find your new way of being in this new place, the quicker you're gonna feel at home. Because the feeling of home is in yourself. It's a specific way for you to be and feel. So maybe my advice there would be to know what makes you feel like yourself and what makes you feel excited about life and excited about being you and good about yourself. So for me, for example, I have my routines that have become like rituals to me. I love waking up early and I do my yoga and some meditation and I write. That ritual for me, the morning hours, the morning writing hours, I can do them anywhere in the world. And I get lost in the act of writing and I feel at home, I feel safe. When I have mornings where I don't get that moment, I feel a bit lost. Like I feel like I don't know what this day is about anymore. But that is an important moment for me. And so you have to collect these small rituals for yourself that make you feel like you. I think that they are really important. I am a runner. My runs are also a ritual that makes me feel like me, using my body, and it's just me and the music in my ears and the breath and the next step. And it takes me through landscapes and cities and lands. And that is my moment. That is what makes me me. And I can end up anywhere in the world. But when I go for my run and I sort of get that runner's high, I feel at home. This is who I am. No matter where in the world, this is who I am and I'm home. Yeah. I think you can learn to build your home in moments and in rituals, and you take them with you. And as long as you stick to these rituals, you're gonna find yourself feeling at home easier. Okay, I think I'm gonna leave it here. I love that you guys are searchers. I feel like you understand what I'm doing with my weird life, hopping around like this and starting over. It's really beautiful because it's a very specific person who gets it, you know, who understands that way of living and understands that way of thinking. And when I get questions like this, I feel like you get me. And so I hope we can make each other feel more okay with the way we go through our lives. Because it is a great way, it's a beautiful way of going through a life, because we get to experience so much. And it comes with obviously a lot of insecurities and uncertainty. But again, we can learn to view these scary moments as excitement too. Okay, I'm going to record part two right away. But if you have any more questions about this or anything specific you want me to talk about when it comes to moving around in the world, starting over, being a citizen of the planet, send me your questions. I love talking about this. All right. Thank you guys for listening. I love you.